My favorite moment of the whole Good Friday Easter story is what happened early hours of Good Friday morning before Jesus had been arrested, after he'd had dinner with his disciples. It's the moment he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He went there, he took a few disciples, hoping that they would also pray for him in the worst moment of his life. They, of course, fell asleep. But I see the picture of Jesus on his knees, on his face before God, crying out to him in horrendous pain, "God, if it is all possible, won't you please take this cup from me?" That picture of Jesus, the Son of God, who had voluntarily set aside his own divinity, crying out to God, "Please don't make me go through this. Please don't make me face what's coming." As we know the story, the soldiers came with Judas in the lead, and Jesus was betrayed and arrested. And the Father's answer to Jesus' prayer was no. It was silence. And then Jesus was led before Pilate, led before Herod, and his Father was silent. Slander, lies, horrendous things were being hurled out from this crowd of hate at Jesus, and his Father was silent. The soldiers put a crown of thorns onto his head, pushed it into his brow till he bled, and his Father was silent. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was accused, he was mocked, he was humiliated. And his Father was silent. He was eventually led with a huge cross beam strapped across his shoulders up a hill of shame. And his Father was silent. They hammered nails through his hands and through his feet. And his Father was silent. They lifted that cross high into the air so that Jesus had to struggle for every single breath, and his Father was silent. They mocked him from below as he hung surrounded by common criminals, a couple of thieves, and his Father stayed silent. They yelled up to him, "If you really are the Son of God, if you really are who you say you are, then come down. Call upon God's angels. Have them rescue you." And his Father remained silent. This is brutal. But it's not just a story of 2,000 years ago. It's our story, isn't it? I am honored and privileged to know so many of you so well and to be able to walk through your journeys in life and to see you in pain, and to hear your suffering as you call out to God like Jesus in the garden, "Please take this from me. Please don't make me go through this." And your Heavenly Father is silent. We have this idea in Western Christendom that God doesn't, that suffering, if we are suffering, that God will rescue us. If just we are strong enough of a Christian. If just we have enough faith. If just we're good enough. If just we pray harder or longer. If only I could manage to pray for 5 hours in a row, then maybe God would save me from the stuff that is weighing me down, the stuff that is causing me pain, that's burdening me, that's suffering for me. If you read your Bible, if you open it up and look at the stories that are in there, sure, there are stories of Jesus walking down the street and healing a blind man or casting out demons. But more often, the stories we see are of people horrendously afflicted, harmed, crushed, persecuted, overwhelmed by suffering and pain. God never said, "I will take your suffering from you." We said that. I catch myself in this. I catch myself journeying alongside people who I see God drawing to himself. I look and I go, oh, you're on the cusp. You're about to know the glory of asking God to be the Lord of your life, of deciding that you're going to follow him. And you know what I pray? God, protect this person from any suffering, because I don't want them to have to endure that until they've got enough faith, or until they know you well enough, or until this or until that, before they have to endure suffering. And then the suffering comes, and I sit there and I go, God, what are you doing? Don't you know that suffering is going to get in the way of us coming to you? Don't you know that if we experience that pain, if this person experiences that pain, they're probably going to run screaming from you? Because I have bought into the same thing that so much of Western Christendom has done, that says suffering takes us away from God. Because suffering is not of God. I want Jesus on the cross to take the suffering, to take the burdens off my shoulders, put them on his own, and have them crucified with them. But that's not what our cross is about. It's so much better. What Jesus promised on that cross is not that he would take up our suffering, he would take up our burdens and our pain. He promised that he would pick us up. With all of our burdens, with all of our pain, he would pick us up and hold us. Paul, I forgot my Bible, but there's lots in here. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, his second letter to them, which is much nicer than his first letter to them, he was telling them right off the bat, he said, he wrote, "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced. We were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself." Now, if anybody has ever told you that you just don't have enough faith, and if you did, your suffering wouldn't be there, compare yourself to Paul. Here's a man of incredible faith who was so utterly, unbearably crushed that he despaired of life itself. And yet, he writes this: "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven for despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Jesus on the cross isn't there saying, "Give me all your burdens, I'll carry them for you so you can go off and have a happy, carefree life." He's saying, "No, give me yourself, so I can carry you, so you can have a holy, purposeful, meaningful life." You may feel persecuted. You may suffer. You may experience extraordinary pain. You then may experience guilt, because you figure, my pain isn't as bad as that person's pain. Why am I feeling so bad about it? Your pain is your pain. And Jesus doesn't take it off your shoulders. But if you take it to the cross, I promise you the burden will become bearable. As soon as we share our burdens, they don't crush us, they don't kill us, they don't bury us anymore. And the other thing I'm so struck by, as I picture Jesus hanging on the cross, asking for our suffering, asking for us, Paul very intentionally called us the body of Christ. Us, in this room, gathered to worship, are the body of Christ hanging on the cross, crucified, so that we can carry each other with all of our burdens.